Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erevin Daf Kuf Beis. We are at the Mishnah, three lines from the top of the Amud. It says in the Mishnah, Neger HaNigrar. Neger is that bolt which is inserted in the threshold to lock the door. This Neger is tied to the door, but it's dragging a bit on the floor. Now, in contrast with the previous Mishnah, where the Neger had this feature of the Glustero, which was a round, a thick top. The head was round and big, and enabled it to be used for crushing spices. So gave it the appearance of a kli. In which case, we treated it more leniently. This Mishnah is speaking about a Neger which does not have that Glustero, which does not give the appearance of a kli. So it's just a typical bolt used to close that door, place it in the threshold, thereby locking the door. Now this Neger is tied to the door, but it is dragging a bit on the floor, in which case it doesn't necessarily appear like it's part and parcel of that door apparatus, and there's an Isma Durabana to use it because it can appear like it's just a simple bolt which is inserting into the ground a nail, and perhaps it looks like he's doing binyan, like he's involved in construction, which is, of course, is the Av Malach on Shabbos. Therefore, the Mishnah says, Neger HaNigrar, this dragging bolt, Noi Alan Boi B'Migdash. It can be used in the Beis HaMigdash where the Rabbanah suspended their Isurim. For the sake of the Avodah, we know there's a Klal, Ein Shavus B'Migdash. So therefore, using this Neger, which only entails Isad Rabbanah, if it gets in the way of the Avodah in the Beis HaMigdash, you can go ahead and use it regardless. Avaloi B'Medina, but not outside the Beis HaMigdash because it entails an Issa Rabbanim because it appears perhaps like he's using it to build. So that's regarding the Neger, which is tied to the doorway, but it is dragging. What if it's not even tied at all? V'hamunach, it's just simply lying around. Kan v'kan asr. That cannot be used in the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Beis HaMikdash because that entails an Issa D'Oraisa. Rashi says it's binyan mamash. He's actually building. He's taking this bolt, which is not attached to the door. It's not part of the doorway structure. And he's inserting it into the threshold. That involves an Issa D'Oraisa of binyan. So regardless of whether it's in or out of the Beis HaMikdash, it's also. So according to Tanakama, if it's lying around, it's Issa D'Oraisa. If it's hanging but dragging on the floor, Issa D'Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he takes a step down. Hamunach Mutu B'Migdash. If it's just lying around, then since it's been designated to be used for this purpose, he says it's no Issa D'Oraisa. There's no binyan taking place. At most, it's only Issa D'Rabbanan. It appears perhaps like binyan. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, in the Beis HaMikdash, that would be Mutu. V'Hanigrar B'Medina. If it's actually hanging on the door, but it's dragging, in that case, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's not even Issa D'Rabbanan. Therefore, can be used B'Medina outside the Beis HaMikdash as well. So, in conclusion, the dragging bolt, according to Tanakam, is Asum D'Rabbanan. If it's just lying around without an untied, detached bolt, according to Tanakam, it's Asum Natoir, it's Binyan Mamish. Rabbi takes a step down, he says, if it's tied, then it's Mutter completely. If it's just lying around, detached, then it's Asur, but only Midrabban. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Ezer Neger HaNigrar, Shenoyelim B'Migdash, Avaloi B'Medina. How do we describe this dragging bolt, which can be used in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside of it, because it appears perhaps like binyan, and therefore it's Asur Midrabbanan. This, of course, is the Tanakama. So, how do we describe this? Kol shekosher v'toli, this bolt which is tied and hanging off the door, however, v'roisha echad magil arts, at least one side, the bottom side, is touching the ground. So this is considered to be nigrar, even if only one side of it, even if it's not completely on the ground, just one side is coming into contact with the eretz, that cannot be used outside the Beis HaMikdash. That appears like binyan. It doesn't necessarily look like it's part of the doorway structure, and therefore, according to the Tanakhama, this is Issa Midrabbanan, and cannot be used outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Da'imer, Ze'af B'Medina Mutar, this type of bolt can be used anywhere because it's tied to the door. So it's designated for the door. It's part and parcel of the door. There's no Issa D'Rabbanan whatsoever. Ela, Ezo Neger, Shinoi Alan B'Migdash, Avaloi B'Medina. Rather, What exactly is a boulder which can be used in the Beis Hamikdash and not outside of it? One which is nor tied, nor hanging. He simply takes it out of the threshold. When he's done, takes it and puts it in the corner of the room, meaning it's totally detached from the structure. This, according to Rabbi Yehuda, entails an Issur Drabbanan and can be used in the Beis Hamikdash, but not outside of it. However, there's no Issur in HaTorah, regardless, because Rabbi Yehuda maintains, since it's been designated for this purpose, it doesn't have a din of construction material. And therefore, in HaTorah, it's mutter. It's only in Drabbanan, which it's Asur, and therefore only outside the Beis Hamikdash. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Halachah Rabbi Yehuda Ben Nigrar. So, Rabbi Yehuda gives us two chidushim. Number one, he says, if it's completely detached, then it's only Asur Midrabbanan. When it's tied to the door, even when it's dragging, that's mutter completely. So there are two elements to Rabbi Yehuda. How does Halacha follow? Says Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda Ben Nigrar. In one element, we follow Rabbi Yehuda's shita. When it's dragging, in which case we say, it's mutter completely. Because since it's tied to the door, it's visibly part of the door structure. And therefore, even if it's dragging a bit on the floor, it's okay. And can be used anywhere, whether in the Beis Hamikdash or out of the Beis Hamikdash. So in that element, we follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that there's no Issur involved whatsoever. However, when it comes to the completely detached bolt, we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there's no Issur in HaTorah, and therefore can be used in the Beis Hamikdash. No, when it comes to that facet, we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So we follow Rabbi Yehuda only partially. Only when it comes to the Nigrar, since it's tied, so although it's dragging, we say it's mutter completely. Amar Rava. V'ushikasha b'delas. You meant to know that the heter of Nigrar is only when it's tied to the door itself. Not to the door structure, not to the side post, to the door itself. In which case, it gives a visible appearance of it being part of the door structure designated for that purpose. And therefore, it's mutter even when it's dragging on the floor. Eini, is that the case? That needs to be tied to the door itself? For Rabbi Tavla, Ikulu Mechayza. Rabbi Tavla came to Mechayza, V'chaza lahudahava, Toli b'ibra d'dasha. And he saw this bolt which was hanging from the ibra d'dasha. This was some sort of a beam of something that was part of the door structure, not the door itself. And even though it was actually tied just to that beam, not to the door itself, he didn't object to disallow its use on Shabbos. So we see that when something is dragging, as long as it's tied to any part of the door structure, it's okay. Hahu nitel be'igdoy hava. In that case, it was actually very well tied. The rope could actually sustain the weight of the bolt, in which case, it's a proper connection. And therefore, as long as it's tied to any part of the door structure, it's okay. So if it's not so well tied, if the rope can't sustain the weight of the bolt, then it needs to be tied to the door specifically to allow the nigrar. But if it's a proper tie, a proper connection, nitel be'igdai, then it can be connected to any part of the door structure, not necessarily to the door itself. Rav Avi ikul Nardo, Rav Avi came to Nardo, chazi la ugavra, he noticed this fellow, davakakotir begami, who was using the bolt, which was nigrar, and this bolt was tied very flimsily to the door. Gemi is a reed grass. Amar, so he said, Dein Lenitruk, this thing here, this fellow should not use the bolt to close up the door because a reed grass is worthless. It's not really considered to be tied to the door at all. So in this case, it's as though it's untied, it's as though it's just detached. And as we said earlier, when something's detached, certainly it's Asur. Perhaps even Asur Midaraisa. So in conclusion, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. So even if it's dragging on the floor, it's mutter, provided it's properly attached. Either properly attached to the door, or if it's a real strong attachment, nital bi'igdai, the rope can sustain the weight of this bolt, then even if it's attached to any part of the door structure, it's okay. But tying it with a gemi is really worthless, and it's considered like it's completely untied. Boi Reb Zera. Nikmaz Mao. So Reb Zera wants to know when the bolt is inserted in the threshold. Perhaps that hole gets widened and the bolt actually ends up going straight into the ground, into the earth below the threshold. Can you continue using that bolt in this case as well? Amar Rav Yosef, what's the question? Lo Shmili, didn't he hear Hadassanya, the following Braisa, Nishmat Asur? If the bolt was detached, then you cannot use it. Nikmaz Mutar, however, if it sinks into the hole and goes straight into the floor below, that's still okay. That's not considered to be binyan. That's the shita of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nikmaz Afal Pishein and Nishmat Asur. If it's Nikmaz, if it sinks into the hole, even if it's not detached from the door, it's Asur. V'Omer Vidomer Shmuel Halach Rabbi Yehuda B'Nikmaz. We follow Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Nikmaz. But time am I, what's wrong with Nikmaz? Why is it different than an ordinary bolt? Omer Abaye Mishum Demechzik Ebayna. In this case, certainly it looks like he's building, because it's not being inserted into the threshold. It's sinking beyond the threshold, into the ground below. So it looks like he's building. It's like he's putting a nail into the ground. So there's no question. Nikmaz certainly is Asur. Boy minei Rav Nechumei Bar Zecharia me'abayi. So he asked Abayi the following question. We know that a bolt which is detached is Asur. What about Asoloi Beis Yad? Now, what if he fashioned a handle for the bolt? So now it looks like a hammer. It looks like a utensil. It's pretty apparent that it's not just a nail being screwed into the ground. Amalei buchna kamers. So he said, you're describing a buchna, a mortar, some type of hammer which is used to crush in the mortar. So of course, there's no concern of binyan. It looks like a kli. And of course, it is mutter. Some actually learned, some mafarshim learned that this is in reference to the nikmas. So if it's sinking into the ground, but has a handle, in which case, once again, it mitigates that concern, and it doesn't look like boina. Itmar, Omar Rav Nechumei Bar Ado, also lebesiad mutar. So he as well learned that a besiad is a positive element, and if it's added to the bolt, that mitigates any concerns. So in conclusion, regarding using this bolt, so it depends. We have three cases. We have the one that's tied, but it's nigrar, dragging a bit on the floor. We have the nega, which is completely detached. It's munach. And of course, we're speaking that it doesn't have a handle. In which case, it looks just like a plain bolt, which is inserted into the ground. And we have the nikma situation, where it's sinking into the threshold, into the ground. We have two shitas. According to Tanakama, when the nega is tied, but it is dragging a bit, then it gives the appearance of a binyan. Doesn't look obvious that it's part of the doorway structure, and therefore it's asam d'rabbanam. When it's completely detached, sitting on the ground, of course it's asam not toira, because you're just taking this construction material and inserting it into the threshold. And we had another braisa which discussed nikmas, where according to Tanakama, even in that case it would be mutter. Review the shita is, the negar is merely nigra, so if it's tied properly to the door, or we had another couple of details on that, but if the point is that it's tied properly, then it's mutter, even if it's dragging on the floor. If it's just sitting around, it's munach, then minatur, it's still not asa, because Rabbi Yehuda maintains, since it's designated for this use, we don't view it, we don't deem it like construction material. It's only asa midrabbanan, because it can be confused with building material. So it's asa midrabbanan, and is mutter in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside of it. And finally, when it comes to the nikmaz, so it's sinking through the threshold to the ground, contributor, it appears like binyan, and it is asur. Continues the Gemara. Ha'usharisa, there was this large beam, the Hava Bei Rabbi Pedas, which was in the home of Rabbi Pedas, the Havu Madli Lo Bei Asur. So it was so heavy, it needed to be carried by 10 people. And 10 people would pick it up, Vishadila Adasha, and it would place it to support the door, to keep it locked at night. And he didn't protest. Rabbi Pedas, that is. He didn't say anything. Why wasn't he concerned with perhaps that it's mukta, it's not meant to be moved? Omar ters kli aleo. This is a kli, although it's a large beam, but it has a din of a utensil. Actually says, it's right to sit on it, and therefore it can be moved on Shabbos. Hahi hasita, a similar case with a mortar. A large size mortar, the Havas Bei Mar Shmuel, which was in the home of Mar Shmuel, the Havas Machzekes Adriba. It was so large that it could contain a half a kor, which is 15 sa, a huge amount. Shara mar Shmuel l'mishdaya adasha. Mar Shmuel allowed them to place it against the door. Amar teres clear leah. Likewise, in this case, he said, it's a kli because it can be used for perhaps sitting on it. Therefore, it's not muksa. Shalach le Rami bar Yecheskel l'Rav Amram. So he sent a message to Rav Amram. Neimal on mar. Please tell us. Mehalin mili mal yosa. Some of those good things, the Amraslan, which you've told us, Mishmeder of Asi, Bechefe the Arba. Some of those good things that you've told us in the name of Asi concerning the Kefe the Arba. Arba is a ship. Kefe are those bent structures, those dome-like frames running across the ship. So Rashi explains as follows. You have a ship with, let's say, the two machitzas of the ship, and you have the wooden structure, a semicircle running from one side to the other. And you have it lined up, a bunch of these semicircles, which are frames meant to be used as a frame to create a canopy. So they would spread a sheet or some mats over those frames to create a protection shelter in the ship. So this was a temporary oil. It was an oil array. It's meant to be put on, taken off. So, well, what about these kefi, the arba? How do we use them on Shabbos? So the message was, send us some information. Why don't you send us some of the good things that you told us in the name of Asi concerning the kefi, the arba? Sholach leis, he sent them as follows. Hochim Rav Asi. This is what Rav Asi said. Hani kefi, the arba. These structures, these kefi, these bent wooden structures in the ship, how to use them? Bizman sheish ben tefach. When the semicircle has a tefach in width. So this piece of wood running across the ship is a tefach wide. In which case, it itself has a din of oil. Because something which is a roof, which is a tefach wide, is considered to be an oil. So once there's an oil in existence, then you can go ahead and add to a temporary oil on Shabbos. So bezman sheishma and tefach, if there's already a tefach in existence, inami, eba and tefach, alternatively, the structure itself is not a tefach wide, each semicircle that is less than a tefach wide, but they're situated so close to each other, ve'ein bein zel is a shloisha, that there's less than three tefachim between these semicircles running over the ship. So we apply the concept of a lavud, we deem them to be connected, and that allows you to go ahead and the next day, on Shabbos that is, to place something on top of it, a temporary canopy. L'machar, tomorrow on Shabbos, maybe machtzelis, he brings his mat or persalein and presents it over the structure. My time of why? Moisif al oil arayhu. Because he's simply adding to the to a temporary oil. He's simply adding to a pre-existing oil. And it's merely a temporary oil that he's forming, because these mats meant to be rolled and unrolled. It's not something of a permanent nature. So as long as there's something pre-existing, there's already a tefach there, then he can go ahead and add a temporary oil to that. So he's a moisiv al oil arayu v'shaper dami, and it's mutter. A similar halacha hanu dichri, these rams the havu le Rav Huna, which belong to Rav Huna, and during daytime, during summertime, they need to be exposed. They need to be covered. They need to be sheltered from the heat. But at night, they would like to remove the canopy to provide them with fresh air. So to be mama bo'tula. During daytime, they need to be protected. They need to be in the shade. Ubalayla bo'avir. At night, they need fresh air. So this is the way they used to do it during weekdays. They used to cover them. They used to present a canopy above them during daytime. At night, it would roll it away. How do we proceed on Shabbos? Also, the committed Rav. So he presented the Shaila to Rav, how am I meant to go ahead for Shabbos? Amar Leis, he gave him a solution. He said, Zil Kroich Budya. So right before Shabbos, roll up the mat. V'shayir botefach, and leave a tefach. So don't completely remove the mat. Leave a tefach unrolled, which gives it a minimum shear oil that allows you lemachar the next day pashta and go ahead and unroll the mat. Umoisiv al oil arayu, He's simply adding to a temporary roof. V'shaper domin, that's mutter. Amar Rav v'mishon Rabbechia. V'ilayin mutter l'antaysay v'mutter l'farkir b'shabas. What about a curtain? You're allowed to go ahead and spread it. You're allowed to go ahead and collapse it on Shabbos. So you can add a horizontal, a vertical curtain. Rashi explains, it's like a door. It's meant to be put up and taken down on a regular basis. It's not a permanent structure. And since it's not a oil is a roof, a horizontal structure. Here it's just vertical. It's a mechitza. A mechitza is aray. A temporary mechitza can be formed even on Shabbos. Kilas chasanim, this bed canopy around the chasan's bed. So we have the bed, and on either side, there was this pole going up, and then a pole across. That presented the structure for the canopy, and then they would go and spread a sheet over the bed. So the sheet was like an overturned triangle, coming to a peak, and going back down. So once again, the oil halachically needs to have a tefach to be considered an oil. Tefach on top, the top surface of that oil. So what about this kilas chasanim? Can you go ahead and spread it and collapse it on Shabbos? Does it have a din of an oil? Although it's an oil harai, but we can't initially create oil harai on Shabbos. So what is that halach? Kilas chasanim, mutar lefarka. You can go ahead and collapse it ulam toisa and to spread it out bis Shabbos. Amar Rav Sheshes, Breda Rav Idi, Lo Yamar. That's only said. This allowance is only given when it doesn't have a din of a oil. Ela she'ein begalga tefach. When the top surface of that canopy is not a tefach wide. So it comes to a point and doesn't present an oil. Aval yesh begalga tefach. But if there's a tefach on top, also. V'chi ein begalga tefach. Nami lo yamar. And even when there's no tefach at the top point, it is only allowed. We know that anything within three is considered to be one and the same. So when we just said that if the top point of the canopy is a point, is not a tefach, it's mutter. But that's only provided that within three to the top, to the crest, so within three tefachim, the canopy is not a tefach wide. Because even if it's within three tefachim, then that width of a tefach provides oil, constitutes oil. So either the top itself is a tefach wide, top surface is flat a tefach, or even if it comes to a point, but if it's in the first three tefachim, it widens the tefach, that's considered to be like the top surface of that roof, of that canopy, and it's considered an oil. So again, le'yamarin elish'ein b'pachas m'shloisha, if within three to the top, samach l'gag, tefach does not have a tefach. Aval yesh v'pachos mishloisha. Samach l'gag tefach. But if it's a tefach wide, anywhere within three to the roof, to the top point, asr. One more stipulation. V'chi ein v'pachos mishloisha. Samach l'gag tefach. And even in the case where it doesn't widen to a tefach, within three tefachim to the top. That is also only mutar nami le'yamarin ela she'ein v'shipua tefach. It's the entire slope. It's not a tefach wide. So we have the canopy, and the midpoint of the canopy is here. So if the slope, meaning any side, the right or left of this canopy, stretches out a tefach from the midpoint of the canopy, even if it's at an angle, even if it's at a slope, if it ends up being a tefach away from that midpoint, so all the way on bottom, if it's a tefach away from the midpoint, that is also called oil. Although it's a sloped oil, even a slopy oil is considered to be an oil. So this is only when ein b'shipua tefach, if it's slant, does not have a tefach. Aval yesh b'shipua tefach. But if the slant is a tefach wide, then that itself is called a oil. Shipuy aholim, kolim domo. Slanty tents, slanty roofs, have a din of a roof. Rashi explains, apparently this canopy was built in a manner where you had lots of little zigzags on top. Because he says, where do we find a bed which is less than two tefach wide? It's not practical. So apparently they constructed it in the following manner. They had lots of little peaks on top, each one being less than a total of two tefachim, right? So this way each slant is less than a tefach from the midpoint. Lots of those zigzags. That's what the Gemara is speaking about. Then, of course, on the sides, they went down and closed the bed. So the point here is one and the same. A tefach creates a gag, creates an oil. And you cannot form an oil, even oil Arayan Shabbos. However, you can go ahead and add to a pre-existing oil, once again, if it already had a tefach. You can go add to that if it's just a temporary oil. And we learned as well that creating a mechitza aray is also mutter on Shabbos. V'amrav shisha b'edar v'idi, siyana shari. A person may wear this felt hat, and apparently it had a wide brim. It's mutter on Shabbos. V'atanya asa. We have a b'raisa which says that it's asa. Like Kasha, the answer is, depends if it had a wide brim or not. How the is be tefach? How the less be tefach? When the b'raisa says it's asr, when the brim was wide, a tefach wide, in which case it has a din of an oil, so therefore you can't wear an oil on Shabbos. Placing the hat on his head results in creation of a oil. How the less be tefach? The halacha of Rav Shisha be David, where he allows wearing the siyana, speaking when it's a narrow brimmed hat, which doesn't make an oil. Elomeata, if that's the case, Sharviv Biglime Tefach. The person spreads his cloak out in a way that he creates a tefach canopy. Hachanami the Asr, you want to say it's Asr? Of course not. It's his beged, it's not an oil. How can you say that placement of a hat on one's head is considered to be an oil in Asr? Elulikash, the answer is Hoda Mahadik. Hodalei Mahadik. Certainly there's no concern of oil when it comes to a person's hat, his clothing. Not considered to be structures, they're just his bgadim that are bottled in. Rather, the discussion here is regarding concern of perhaps coming to carry on Shabbos. So if the head is fastened, it's mihadik, it's fastened or tied to his head, then there's no concern of it flying off and being carried on Shabbos. When the Braita says you cannot wear the siyana, he's speaking where the hat is loose on his head and there's a concern that it might slip off and it may result in being carried in Mishnah Surabim on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. Machzirin tzirat tachten b'migdash. So we have a chest which has a door. The door has two hinges. An upper hinge, which is the tzir ha'elyon, and the lower hinge, which is the tzir ha'tachter. Now, one of those hinges slipped out, got dislocated. Can you go ahead and restore it? So it depends. The upper hinge entails a malach of boina. He's really fixing that chest, because it's a whole job to restore that upper hinge. Whereas when it comes to merely the lower hinge, that doesn't really entail a proper malacha. It's easy to slip it back into place, and therefore it's only midrabbanan. And the concern is because it might lead a person to bring along his tools and to go ahead and fashion it properly, which involves a malacha d'oraisa. So midrabbanan, you can't even slip it back for concern that it may lead to a malacha. Says the Mishnah, Machzirin Tzirat Tachten B'Migdash. However, if the Tzirat Tachten slips out in the Beis HaMikdash, we know, Ein Shvus B'Migdash. When it pertains to Karbanis, Chacham did not apply their Isser. So even if the hinge slips out, in which case it would be Asa Midrabanan, that's only outside the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, you may go ahead and restore it. Avaloi B'Medira, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Elyon, if the upper hinge slips out, that entails real boina, real issa malacha, kan v'kan asa. Therefore, it's asa whether in or without of the Beis HaMikdash. So Tanakama holds that actually fashioning even a kli is an issa deraisa of boina. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he takes a step down. He says, even if the upper hinge slips out, since we're speaking about a kli, he holds, there's no din of binyan midoraisa when it comes to a kli. It's only asa midrabbanan. Therefore, if the upper one slips out, the Isn Rabbanon is applied, but only outside the Beis HaMikdash, but not inside the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'elyon b'Mikdash. If the upper one slips out, you can't restore it outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash you can, because it's only the Rabbanon. V'atachten. But if the low one slips out, in which case Rabbi Yehuda maintains, there isn't even an Isn Rabbanon b'Medina, so it can be restored even outside the Beis HaMikdash. So in conclusion, when it comes to the hinge which slipped out, according to Tanakama, the upper hinge entails Issa Deraisa, its proper binyan, whereas the lower hinge only involves derabbanan, which is asr outside the Beis Hamikdash, according to Rabbi Yehuda. When the lower one slips out, it's mutter completely, all over. There's no issa derabbanan even. When it comes to the upper hinge, that involves issa derabbanan, and is asr outside the Beis Hamikdash, but in the Beis Hamikdash certainly it's mutter. And of course we're speaking because it's a kli. But if it would be an in-ground door, certainly anything you do there is considered to be boina, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braise, at Tzir, the hinge of the door of the Delis, of the Shida, this was a wagon, teva, a chest, a middle, an armory, a closet, b'migdash machzir. So speaking, if the lower hinge slips out, which only entails Issa Rabbana, so in the base of Midlash, you can go and restore it. However, outside the Beis Hamikdash, you can't go ahead and restore it if it was completely dislocated. However, let's say it just slightly slipped out of its place. It's not completely out of place. Doichken, you can just nudge it back into its place. According to all shitas, there's no concern whatsoever. It's not really repairing anything. But the upper hinge, kan v'kan liyachsen. Whether in or out of the Beis Hamikdash, you cannot go ahead and restore it because that entails Issa d'oraisa. Why? Because he's forming a kli. He's fixing, he's properly repairing a kli which broke apart. He's taking something which was a non-functioning kli and restoring its function. And that entails issa d'oraisa of binyan. Therefore, it cannot be done even at Beis Hamikdash. Now, what's wrong with the restoration of the lower hinge? That's only midrabbanan because the kli is still considered to be a functioning kli. But there's a concern, gzeira shemayitka, that he might bring his tools and bang it back in place, which entails issa d'oraisa. Im taka chayav chatas. If he should do so, he's chayav chatas. So this is concerning a kli. Shel bor. What about a dislocated hinge in a bor, in a pit in the ground? Or shel dus. Dus is, some explain this to mean a pit, but it has a built structure around the perimeter. So it's an in-ground structure, not just a hole in the ground. So a different form of an in-ground arrangement, shayetziah, or some a door of some sort of shed. So all these are mechubel karka. In this case, even a slight modification entails issa d'oraisa. Lo yachzer, he shouldn't even restore the lower hinge. If he should do so, he's chayv chatas. So the point here is that when it comes to an in-ground structure, anything that's done involves binyan. Any small modification is binyan and asma d'oraisa. When it comes to a kli, it works with different guidelines. Over there, it's based on the concept of functionality. So, if he's restoring its functionality, which it had completely lost, like when it comes to restoring the upper hinge, which was dislocated, according to all shitas, it's asa. According to the Tanakhama, it would be asa menat Torah. But when it comes to the lower hinge, in which case it was still considered to be a functioning kli. Even Tanakam would agree that it's only Aser, Midraban, in this case, according to Abudah, it's Mutal Chatchil. So in summary, to restore a dislocated hinge. So it depends. If we're speaking about a chest, a wagon, these kalim. So according to Tanakam, when it comes to restoring the lower hinge, it's only Aser, Midraban, because the kli is still considered a functioning kli. It's not a real significant act of repair. Whereas when it comes to the upper hinge, in which case the kli is completely a non-functional kli, that's considered to be a proper binyan and asa min ha-tor. Rabbi Yehuda takes a step down, Rabbi Yehuda says that the lower hinge is mutl chatchila because what did he do? He didn't really accomplish much. When it comes to the upper hinge, he says it's only asa min d'rabbanan because Rabbi Yehuda maintains that there's no concept of building when it comes to a kli. And therefore, even if he restores the upper hinge, there's no issa min ha-Torah. At most, it's only asur midrabanan because it looks like building. That's concerning a kli. When it comes to something which is bakarka, all agree. Even the slightest modification, the slightest repair, even restoring the lower hinge would be asur min ha-Torah. Continues the Mishnah. Machzirin retiyah b'migdash. Here we're going to speak about a bandage which has an ointment on it, a cream, and the person already had, the kohen already had it on him to cover his wound. He needed to remove it to enable him to do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash because the bandage formed an interposition, a chatzitza between himself And the avodah was a barrier. He needs to directly touch the kli, etc. So this bandage was getting in the way. He had to remove it to enable him to do the service in Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, although restoring the bandage would involve Issam d'Rabbanan, we're concerned that perhaps that would lead him to go smear the ointment, which is a melacha d'araisa, a melacha memachik, one of the 39 of his melachas. But since it was for the sake of the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, once again, ein shvus b'mikdash. Therefore, says the Mishnah, machzir and rotiv b'mikdash, you can restore, return, replace the bandage on his hand when it comes to, when it's in the Beis HaMikdash. Avodah b'medina, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, in which case it doesn't involve avodah, the Chacham did not allow him even to return the bandage which should be removed, because he might go ahead and smear the cream, the ointment, which involves a malach, in betchila. Now, if he's trying to initiate things, meaning that this kayin never had this bandage yet. He didn't have it and removed it for the sake of avoida. He never had it. He's trying to initiate, to place a bandage, a new bandage on his hand. Kamrikan aser, whether in the base of midrash, whether out of the base of midrash, it's aser. Because the only allowance here is for the sake of the avoida. So if he had it on his hand, he was compelled to remove it to enable him to do avoida. Yeah. Then there's a special dispensation here. Ein shvus b'migdash. And the kohen can go ahead and restore it. But in the absence of this element, just by the mere fact that he's standing in the Beis HaMikdash, that wouldn't allow him to go ahead and put back the ratiyah and place a ratiyah on his hand for concern that it might lead him to do an issa d'oraisa. So it's a special heter when it pertains to avodah, but otherwise not. Now, actually, when he's initiating a new compress on his wound, there are actually two concerns. Number one, the concern that we just mentioned, that he might go ahead and smear the ointment. But there's another factor, as the Mefarshim point out, that Tosfos points out, that if a person initiates some sort of remedy on Shabbos, there's another issur d'rabbanan, because it might lead him to crush the grind ingredients, which is a melach of toichen, which we discussed many times on Shabbos. So when he initiates a remedy, there are actually two concerns. There's a concern of crushing the ingredients and also smearing the ointment. The reason why in our discussion here we're not making reference to crushing the ingredients, because we're speaking about a case where it was already on him. Mishnah speaks about machzir and ratir. He already applied it to himself, in which case it says there's no concern of crushing ingredients. He's not fashioning the remedy on Shabbos. So that concern is off the table. Rather, the concern is simply because even if we allow him just to replace a removed bandage, he might go ahead and smear the bandage, smear the ointment, and that involves a malacha. So that's another concern, another rabbinic concern, which, as we just said, will not be applied when it negates the malacha, the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Tana Rabbanan, Ritiya Shepar Shemal Gabi Maka, Machzirin B'Shabbos. Let's say it slipped off. He didn't actually remove it. It just fell off his hand. He can go ahead and restore it on Shabbos, according to all Shitas. Rashi explains, because this is something which is uncommon to happen. And as we know, generally the Chacham did not apply an Isser when something was not Shchiach. So it's only when he actually physically removed it do we have a concern. But if it slips out, that's something which is not shchiach, and the Chacham did not include in the gzeir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, huchalka. Rabbi Yehuda says if it totally slips off his hand, he can't go ahead and put it back. That's considered like, in that case, we have the gzeir. But it's only when it slightly slips off. It's still there, but it slips away from his wound. Yeah, that we allow. If it slips below the wound, he can push it back up to the wound. If it slips upward, push it back down to the wound. But if it completely falls off his wound, Rida maintains, there's no heter, he can't go ahead and restore it. Now, if he'd like to wipe off the pus from his wound, how does he go about it? Without removing the bandage. He uncovers part of the wound, part of the bandage which is covering his wound, then wipes the wound, then he goes and he uncovers the other side of the bandage, and wipes his wound. However, the actual bandage, he should not wipe, because he's going to inevitably smooth out the cream, the ointment. If he goes ahead and he actually does that, because that's a malocha, a memachek. So, Tanakama says, if the bandage slips off his hand completely, he can go ahead and return it to his hand. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, we don't allow it. Only if it slips off a bit, but if it completely left his hand, it's us. So who's the halacha follow? We follow Rabbi Yehuda. And even if it fell off, it was pirush, he cannot go ahead and put it back. This machlekes, where Rabbi Yehuda says, even if it falls off his hand, he can't go ahead and put it back. That's only elashe pirush al gabi kli. This machlekes, where the Tanakhama allows and Rida does not allow, only applies to a case where the bandage fell off and it landed on a kli. It didn't land on the ground. In which case, Tanakhama says, well, putting it back on his hand is not considered like initiating a remedy. It's not called like he's doing it b'tchila, because it's still on the kli here, it's close by, and he's just putting it back. Aval pirsha gabi kaka, but if it fell on the floor itself, all agree it's aser, because once it falls down on the floor, it's considered to have been detached completely from him, and to allow him to put it back, that involves an iser, according to all shitas. So again, for clarity, when the bandage falls off, Tanakhama says you can go and put it back, Rida says you can't. The Gemara tells us that's only if it falls on the kli, but if it falls on the kaka, all agree you can't go ahead and restore it, because consider like you're initiating it. Omar Mar Baravashi. So Mar, the son of Rashi, says, I was standing in front of my father and I observed him as follows. Nofli Abisadya, his bandage slipped off his hand and fell onto the pillow, which is a kli, v'kamahadili, and he went ahead and restored it. He put it back on the wound. Aminilei, so I asked him, I told him, Leisavar Lamar, do you not hold of Lahadra Amar Rav Chizda? Said, Machlekes Shepir Shagam Bekli, that the discussion is pertaining to where the bandage fell onto a kli. In which case, Tanakhama says, it's Mutter, Rabbi Yehuda says it's Asa, and the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, right? Avo Pirsha Gabi Kaka Asa, but if it falls on the ground, all agree it's Asa. But Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel told us clearly that Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, in which case we conclude that even if it falls on a kli, we're meant to be stringent, we're not meant to put it back on the wound. So in your case, sure, it fell onto the pillow, which is a kli, but we're meant to follow Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's Asa. Amarli, so my father, Rav Asher, responded, Lo Yishmili, I never heard that. Kolemile severely, meaning I don't agree with it. I hold that the machlekes pertains to where it falls on the karka. Ratanakama says you can put it back, Rida says you can't, and we follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita. But that's strictly when it fell on the karka, but it falls on the kli, which is close by, which is still considered to be close at hand and designated for my use. It's not down on the ground below. It's still, in that case, all agree. It hasn't completely detached from the person and is mutter to be returned back to the wound. So in my case, there's no machlekes. Sure, we follow Rabbi Yehuda, but that only pertains to the case where we fell on the karka, which is the context of the machlekes. But in the case where it falls on a kli, all agree it's mutter. So in conclusion, if this bandage slightly slipped off the wound, but it's still on him, all agree you can put it back, slip it back to the wound. If he removed it, can he go ahead and restore it? Well, outside the Beis Hamikdash, he can't, because it's a concern. It's in the Rabbanon. They might go ahead and smear the cream or the ointment. If that happened in the Beis Hamikdash, and it was removed initially to enable him to do the Avodah, then no Shvus is applied. He can go ahead and restore his bandage. What if it slipped off his hand and ended up on the Akli, or down on the floor, according to the other opinion? We have a Machlekes. According to Tanakhama, since this is not a common occurrence, there's no Issa Derabbanan, and he can go ahead and restore his bandage, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even in this case, it would be Asur. Continues the Mishnah. Kaishrin Nima B'Midosh. When we go ahead and repair the violin string, which snapped on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, in order to enable the Levi to play music during the time of the Akrava of the Karbanis. Because we're following the Shita that allows Chilul Shabbos, allows a Malacha to be done not only for the mitzvah itself, for the Karban itself, but also for the Machshirei Karban, for the enablers of the Karban, the accessories of the Karban, in this case, the music. Avalei b'Medina, certainly not outside the Beis HaMikdash, because it entails a Malacha. Which Malacha? Kosher. V'imbatchila. But to initiate, Kan v'kan asa. That can't be even in the Beis HaMikdash. So if it's not before Shabbos, in which case he had the option of fixing it before Shabbos, he cannot do a malacha in this case. It's only if there's no alternative. It happened on Shabbos itself. It's the efshar la'asoyis mer of Shabbos. But if it happened before Shabbos, in which case he had the option of doing it before Shabbos, that does not justify, does not override Chilul Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. V'raminu. So Mishnah told us you can tie the violin string that snapped on Shabbos. But the Braisa speaks about simply creating a bow, which is allowed, but not actually tying. V'raminu. Nimas kino shenifsaka. What if the violin string snapped on Shabbos? Lo yekosher. He wouldn't be allowed to tie it, which involves a malacha, elo'ayva, but merely to create a bow, to fix it in that manner. Like Kasha, the answer is harabbanan, varabalazer. The Braisa, which insists on forming a bow, is following Shita's rabbanan, who say that only the carbon itself can override Shabbos, but not the accessories of the carbon, in this case, the preparation of music. That doesn't justify a malach on Shabbos. Therefore, he can form a bow, which doesn't entail a malach. It's not considered to be a knot and not a malach. Whereas the Mishnah, which allows knotting a kesher, which involves a malach, is following Rabbi Lezer Shita, who says that not only is the carbon dech Shabbos, but even the machshiri carbon, such as the music, justifies a malach on Shabbos. Explains the Gemara. Lura Blezer, the Omar, machshiri mitzvah dech on Shabbos, koishra. So according to him, since machshiri mitzvah adech Shabbos, you can go and tie the violin which snapped on Shabbos. The Rabbonon, however, the Amri ain't doich, they hold that machshir mitzvah anadech Shabbos, oinva, only thing he's allowed to do is form a bow to repair his violin in that manner. Irabelezer, if the mission is following Rabelezer, afilu chatchila nami, even to initiate on Shabbos should be allowed. Rabelezer doesn't differentiate between a case where he had a viable option of doing it before Shabbos or not. In any case, Rabelezer allows a malacha for machshir mitzvah. He equates the accessory of the mitzvah with the mitzvah itself. So, in contrast with our Mishnah, which presents the halacha strictly in the case where he had no choice, it snapped on Shabbos, Rabbi Lezer would allow even if he initiates on Shabbos. So apparently our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Lezer. Ella like Kashi, apparently you have to answer like this. Ha Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa hold that although you can do malacha for machshirei mitzvah, that's only when there's no option, alternative. Therefore, the Braisa says, look, you have an option of forming a bow and repair your violin in that manner, do so, because you can avoid malacha. Whereas the Mishnah is following Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that forming a bow is tantamount to tying a knot. It's also malacha. Therefore, there's no preference to forming a bow over tying a knot. So that's the Shita reflected in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Leibed Aman. Who is Rabbi Yehuda following? If he's following Rabbi Lezer, afilu chatchila nami. So even to initiate is mutter. Meaning, in the broader context of the discussion regarding machshirei mitzvah being derech Shabbos. So we mentioned that according to Rabbi Lezer, even if there is an alternative, even if he initiates on Shabbos, he can do so. There's no limitation when it comes to machshirei mitzvah. So in contrast with Rabbanon, who insists that it's only allowed when there's no option, no other alternative. Now Rabbi Yehuda, which is now the time of our Mishnah, which says you can go and tie the violin. Whose shita is he following? Is he following Rabbi Lezer? Then why is the Mishnah speaking about a violin which snapped on Shabbos itself, but to initiate is usher? Chodesh Rabbi Lezer, even initiating is mutter. Ella, like Kashi, apparently we have to answer the contradiction a bit differently. We have the Mishnah which speaks about tying the snap violin, whereas the Braisa which speaks about forming a bow in specific. Like Kashi, the answer is like this. Harabi Shimon, Harabonon. Is it core machlekes here? Whether machshirei mitzvah deicha Shabbos? The Rabbanon hold yes, it's deicha Shabbos, provided you have an alternative. And that sheet is reflected in our Mishnah. So if it snaps on Shabbos, you can tie it. Whereas the Braisa speaks about forming a bow. And that's following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who says only the carbon is deicha Shabbos, but not the machshirin of the carbon. So at most you can do is form a bow, which doesn't entail a malach. Where do we find this machlekes? Harab Shimon Harabon Desanya. Ben Levi shenifsiku l'gnima b'kinar. If the violin string of the Ben Levi was snapped on Shabbos, Kaishwa, you can go ahead and tie it. This is Shitas Rabbanan, because it happened on Shabbos, and you had no option. Rav Shimon, even if it happened on Shabbos, you can't go ahead and do a malacha for the accessory of a mitzvah. At most you can do is form a bow, which doesn't entail a malacha. Rav Shimon Lazo Eimer, he's responding to them. He says, look, Rabbanan, what are you saying? Go ahead and repair it with this improvised repair, tying the string. It's not really worth much. Afi eina mashmasa koil. It's not going to produce a proper sound. So once you're doing a malacha, do it properly. Ela mashal shel milmata, v'korech milmala. Rather, run the string. We're assuming that the string which snapped still has some body to it. So you can pull it up from below, lift it, bring it up to the peg on top of the violin, and wrap it there and tighten it. So although that involves a malacha, Rashi explains, he's forming a kli, it's makib patish, he's producing a kli, but once you're doing a malacha, you're tying, may as well do it properly to produce a proper sound by forming this uninterrupted continuous thread, continuous string, rather than tying it in the middle. So, mishal shel milmata v'korech milmala, either pick it up, unroll it from the bottom, and pull it to the top and wrap it around the peg on top to tighten it, or the other way, mishal shel milmala, or pull it down from the top, v'korech milmata, and wrap it around the peg on bottom. So in any case, when it comes to our steerer, we have an answer. The Mishnah is speaking about Shitas Rabbanan, who allow malacha. There's no alternative, even for the sake of Machshir Mitzvah, whereas the Braisa speaks about bowing, making a bow, is Rabbi Shimon does not allow malacha for the sake. The boy same another pshat, Havah Rabbanan. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa reflect Shitas Rabbanan, who theoretically allow malacha in this context, however, only if it's necessary. For the Kasha, the answer is, depends where the string snapped, and whether it necessitates tying a proper knot or whether a bow is sufficient. Kan be'emtza, the Mishnah is speaking where it's snapped in the middle. In the middle, then you need to tie a proper knot to get it back to function properly. And that's reflected in our Mishnah. Kan be'natzad, the Braisa, which insists on forming a bow, is speaking where it's snapped off to the side. In that case, a bow is sufficient to produce a proper musical sound. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are speaking where it snapped in the middle. The Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbanan. The Braisa, Shitas Rav Shimon. Now, according to this approach, even Rav Shimon agrees you can do a malacha for machshirei mitzvah when there's no viable alternative. So theoretically, you should be able to tie the violin string which snapped in the middle, which requires knotting. However, Rav Shimon maintains there's a concern, there's a gzeira. Perhaps next time it's going to happen on the side where a knot isn't pertinent, and he'll continue knotting it even there. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, even if it's snapped in the middle where a knot is required, I don't allow it. Just form a bow and that's it. So that explains the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are speaking where it's snapped in the middle, where theoretically a knot is crucial. However, Ma'asavar Gazrin, Rav Shimon says, we don't allow it. We're concerned the next time it's going to snap on the side, where a knot is not crucial, a bow is sufficient, therefore I only allow bows. Ma'asavar Gazrin, Rabbanan hold, we don't apply this concern, this gzera, and therefore, as long as it snaps in the middle, where a knot is required, we allow him to make a knot. And that opinion is reflected in our mission. So, conclusion, if this violin string snapped on Shabbos, we have a Mishnah which says you can tie it. Braisa says you can only form a bow. We have three approaches. Number one, the Mishnah is following the Rabbanan who hold that accessories of a mitzvah are deicha Shabbos. Whereas the Braisa is following Rav Shimon who holds machshir are not deicha. Therefore, only a bow is allowed. Approach number two, the Mishnah and Braisa both following Shitas Rabbanan that machshir are deicha Shabbos. The Mishnah is speaking where it snapped in the middle and a knot is required. The Braisa is speaking it happened on the side where a bow is sufficient. Approach number three is that the Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbanan. So if it's snapped in the middle, you can go tie it. The Braisa says, Rav Shimon says, even if it's snapped in the middle, we don't only allow him to make a bow. We're concerned that next time it's going to snap on the side where a bow is sufficient. Therefore, we only allow a bow in all cases. And of course, you have Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, who says, even if he had a viable option to avoid Chilul Shabbos, if it's snapped before Shabbos, you can go ahead and do a malacha for the sake of Machshirei Mitzvah. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. Regarding the neger, using that bolt in the threshold, we learned that's only allowed when it appears like part and parcel of that door apparatus. We can add on a temporary oil on Shabbos. We got to be restoring a hinge. It depends if it's a lower hinge or the upper hinge. We learned about returning a bandage to a wound on Shabbos and repairing the violin to allow the Ben Levi to play music in the Beis HaMikdash.